How many of you love roller coasters? Okay, I don't. What's wrong with you guys? How many of you hate roller coasters? Okay, how many hate it? How many love them? How many just don't ride them? Okay, I'm a person who really I just have a hard time. You know, I have a hard time experiencing this. Okay, because here we go. All right, yeah. But, you know, I have a lot of confidence in human ingenuity and the ability to engineer. And yet, I look at this, I'm saying, if that's me in that cart, one of those welds are going to break, and I'm going to shoot right off the end of that thing, and I'm going to end up, you know, down on the pavement somewhere, and I don't want to do that. And yet, I look at that, and I say, you know, thousands of other people have ridden on those things, and they haven't really flew off the end of it. But when I look at it, I'm saying, it'll happen to me. And secondly, I know that the really rickety ones and the ones that jerk a lot, they do a number on me. I mean, usually I have to visit the chiropractor after I get home. But roller coasters are just one of those fun things that we love to do at theme parks. And today we're going to be turning to the book of Ephesians because we're going to be looking at Paul's description of a roller coaster ride that's actually related to the gospel. And we talk about good news, and we talk about bad news, okay? Because when you start doing all those loop-de-doos and following, is that you're saying, I'm not certain I want to be on this thing because I think I'm dead, but it's all good to get back home, right? And so we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians today, and as we think about this, we think about the good news and the bad news that Paul has, and let's very simply just go here. First of all, the ascent, because when you're sending up that roller coaster, I mean, that's you're all of a sudden you're beginning to climb, you're climbing, and from the very top, you get to the very apex, the very top of that roller coaster, and you can see everything. I mean, you can see the water park, you can see the theme park, you can see your car down there in a parking lot, and you're wondering if you're going to be able to drive it home. You see everything out there everywhere because it's so gorgeous as you look out over that. And so Paul says that there's the ascent. And we read about in the book of Genesis where God created everything, and he said it was good. It was good. I mean, the earth was good. The sea was good. The vegetation was good. He created humankind, and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And Paul says, I want you to understand that we can bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that comes from heaven. I mean, stop and think about this. I cannot even begin to describe to you all of that God has created for us. Everything that is in the heavens belong to us. Everything that is God's belong to us. And it's all ours to enjoy. And he says all these spiritual blessings are there for us in these heavenly realms. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. Think about this. I mean, he's basically just flooded us, laid it upon us, lavished us with every good gift that we could possibly think about. All these spiritual blessings, all this grace, he's just poured it out, over and over upon us, and we can experience that. So we have this wonderful grace. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call. What is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers? I mean, we have a wonderful inheritance. And what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working in us who believe? This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength or the Holy Spirit. And so I live my life and I know that I'm weak and I'm frail and sometimes I can't seem to function very well. But God gives me that divine energy from above and he gives me everything that I need to live my life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He gives me that supernatural powerful strength that helps me get through the troubles of life and through the victories of life. He blesses me with everything that is mine and is his and he gives it all to me. And so that's the ascent. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, come up to the top of that coaster, we look out and we say, wow, God, wow, you've really blessed us. Look at everything that you've given to us. We've been blessed in those heavenly places. But then what happens? You're at the very top and then you look down and you're saying what? I don't know about you, but I'm saying, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. You know, I'm not going to make it at all. And so we talk about the drop or the fall. He says, at one time you were like a dead person or you were dead. You know, your trespasses and sins, or this translation says, because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. We were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead because of our offenses against God. We were dead. Not just mostly dead, but we were all dead. I like the movie The Princess Bride. And it's been a while since I've seen that movie. I love the soundtrack to that. I love the score that's been written. And in the movie The Princess Bride, which is, you have this father or grandpa telling this story to this little boy, and he's getting ready for bed, and he thinks it's ridiculous, but then it gets into the story, and you have Wesley, who's the good guy. He's a farmhand, and you have Buttercup. And Buttercup loves to boss Wesley around, and his comment is always, "As you wish. As you wish." Well, one day he sets off because he wants to gain a fortune so he can come back and marry her. And in the meantime, they think that he's been killed, you know, as he ventures out away from home, that he's dead. And so Prince Humperdinck comes onto the scene, and Prince Humperdinck is going to take Buttercup as his wife. Well, Wesley is not dead at all. He comes back on the scene. He's actually been on a ship. He was captured and released, and he comes back, and he has actually makes up with three friends. One is Inigo Montoya, and there's this huge giant, and then there's another individual. And Wesley stumbles across the plan of Prince Humperdinck to marry Buttercup. And so he sets out to try to rescue Buttercup, and he is arrested by Prince Humperdinck and put into the torture chamber. And there in that torture chamber, he's hooked to this machine that tortures him, that tries to drain every ounce of life out of him, and he begins to scream to the very top of his voice, and his scream can be heard throughout all the kingdom of Prince Humperdinck. Well, Montoya, you know, and his friends hear the scream, and they begin to look for him, and they discover an entryway, and they go down into this torture chamber, and they're able to rescue Wesley, but he's dead. And they take him to the home of Miracle Max, who's a potion maker, and who is very upset and bitter at Prince Humperdinck because he's banned him from his castle. Now, all I want you to catch there is that he says what? Your friend is just what? Mostly dead. Mostly dead. There's a difference between being mostly dead and all dead. And that's what Paul is saying to us in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, you know what? You're not just mostly dead. You are all dead. You are dead completely in your sins, your trespasses, and your offenses. You're not merely in the doghouse, you're in the morgue. You are all dead. And he says that things really get worse from there on out, because he goes back, and if we go back to this passage of Scripture, if I can back it up, he says not only that, but he says not only were we dead, we're all dead, but he says that we're actually enslaved. He says this: you followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All you used to do, whatever you felt good, and whatever you thought you wanted to do, that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. For very simply here, what he's trying to say here is, we were dead. Say what? Say what? I was dead, all right? We were enslaved. So not only were we not just mostly dead, we were all dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Secondly, we were enslaved. Enslaved to the passions of this world, enslaved to the desires of the flesh, enslaved to the devil, enslaved to all the things that are not good, enslaved, and thirdly, we deserve God's punishment. And some of you are saying, wow, I'm so glad I went to church today. I get to hear how bad I am. Well, friends, you're worse than you think you are, because you're dead. You're all dead apart from Christ. Amen? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were enslaved even while we were dead. And we were deserving of God's wrath, God's punishment. We're worse than we could possibly imagine. But then we have the good news, because you go up the roller coaster. You look out and you say, wow, what a beautiful view. You take the drop. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And then we coast through the curves and the loops. And we have to go to the next slide there. And notice what Paul says. However, or but God, who is rich in mercy, has brought us to life with Christ while we were dead. As a result of those things we did wrong, and he did this because of his great love that he has for you, you are saved by God's grace. In other words, God is merciful towards us. In other words, he gives us something we don't deserve. And secondly, he is graceful to us. He manifests this undeserved free bounty, this gift that he bestows upon us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. By his grace, he brings us into the kingdom and says, you are mine, I chose you, I have redeemed you. Philip Yancey, Remember that, Delina? You quoted him the other night. Philip Yancey on how amazing grace it's. I forgot the name of the book now. I looked at you and I forgot the name of the book. But, you know, but he talks about grace. And he says, you know what? The grace is one of the last words that actually has retained its original meaning. I mean, for instance, when we go and we sit down at a dinner table, what's so amazing about grace? That's what it is. We sit down at a dinner table. What do? We say grace. And we thank God for his free and undeserved bounty. If you have a red box that's due, or remember the old library books that you used to borrow before it went digital, or maybe you have an insurance policy, remember this, and you have in your you miss a payment, and you have 30 days of grace, there's a grace period. We call our children, we name our children by the name of grace. We have Grace United Methodist Church, Grace Baptist Church, Grace Episcopal Church. I mean, grace is one of those names that we use. Why? Because we're trying to affirm God's free and undeserved bounty to us. And yet, we have a hard time grabbing a hold of this outrageous grace that God manifests because we cannot believe that somehow God gives me something that I don't deserve. I don't know how many of you are like me, but every day our telephone rings about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 99 times from people that I don't want to talk to. Not you guys, but people who are trying to say, you owe $4,000 to the IRS, okay? How many of you have ever received those calls? All right, if you haven't, I'm going to call them. I'm going to answer them next time and say, would you please call this number right here, and you can have the joy of that. I received phone calls some years ago about someone who wanted me to invest in an ostrich farm because I could make thousands of dollars raising ostriches. Okay, how many of you would like to raise an ostrich? I've received phone calls by people who have said, you know what, you get a free cruise, a free vacation, you can come down here in Florida and stay in this place and you can stay 3 nights for free, but they don't tell me the little sidebar that says, but you also have to listen to a sales pitch because I want to sell you a portion of this timeshare. You see, I have learned in my life there's no such thing as a free lunch. And we have a hard time saying, now, wait a minute, God, how could you give me this free and undeserved bounty? Don't I owe you something? Don't I have to do something for it? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And that's what grace is all about. It's a free, undeserved grace gift that God gives to you. And I don't have to do anything to earn it or to merit it. God grants it to me. It's outrageous, amazing, overwhelming, unstoppable grace that God manifests to you and to me to bring us into the kingdom of God. Now, I read a wonderful story by Timothy Jones, who adopted an 8-year-old girl into their home. This 8-year-old girl had been adopted previously by another family, and the tragedy of it all was that she was never really included in the family. They had adopted her. And after 2 years of living in this family, they gave her back up for adoption because they said, you know, we don't want her. They never really integrated her into the family situation, into the home. And shortly after they adopted this 8-year-old girl, he was talking to her one day and discovered that, for instance, whenever this other family went on a vacation or did something special, they never included this little 8-year-old girl who had been adopted. They had gone to Disney World, the Magical Kingdom. And they left this 8-year-old girl at home with friends rather than taking her along with the family. This little 8-year-old girl had heard about Disney World. She had seen the pictures of Disney World, but she never had really been able to enter through the gates of that magical kingdom. She was always left home, and she began to believe in her own heart that she had done something wrong. And the reason why she couldn't go to Disney World was because she had been bad, and she was being punished for that. So he decided that the next time he was going to speak in Florida, he would plan a vacation around Disney World. And so that's what he did. He got a speaking engagement in Florida, down in Orlando, and he decided that he would take the whole family along for a vacation to Disney World, and it was going to be a happy time for them. And he said, you know, I had prepared myself for everything that children experience at Disney World, and I knew that some of them are happy about the big-sized Mickey Mouses and Donald Ducks that walk around the theme park, and I knew that some kids were very fearful and anxious about those. But he said, I never really began to believe and comprehend that one of my children, especially this 8-year-old, could become so devilish and such a bear leading up to that vacation trip to Disney World. In fact, she began to steal food when she had no reason to steal food. She began to lie when telling the truth was easier. She began to say biting things, sarcastic things, hurtful things to her other sisters in the family. I mean, she was just a real bear. I mean, she was just horrible. I mean, she was just out of this world. And so he decided to take her aside one day, and he set her on her lap and said, honey, and the first things out of her mouth was, "You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you? You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" And he said, "You know, that thought had never entered my mind, but considering her actions, you know, I thought, well, maybe it would be a good idea maybe to leave her home. But by the grace of God, I did not say that. I did not say to her, yeah, because of all the things you have been doing, I'm going to leave you home. No, I didn't say that." He began to realize in her own heart that she felt like she had to do something to earn this trip. And she was doing everything possible in her life to destroy that trip for her, to make a fulfilling prophecy. You know people who have ever tried to sabotage their life? You know, God has given them all these heavenly blessings. God has blessed them in all the heavenly realm. God has given them this dream. He says, "Everything that I have is yours." But they try to sabotage God's dream for their life. And that's what this young girl was trying to do. She was trying to sabotage this dream of going to Disney World. And he took her aside and he said, "Are you part of this family?" And she said, "Well, yes, I am." And she says, he said, "Well, are we going to go to Disney World?" And she says, "Well, I suppose." He says, "No, you're going to go to Disney World." And so days came closer, and she began to get worse and worse and worse. She became more rebellious, did more things that were just absolutely just very devilish, she said. And on their way to Disney World, they had to stay two nights in another hotel, and she said she just was absolutely just a real bear. But they finally got to Disney World. They paid for their overpriced tickets, stood in those long lines, but managed to experience, you know, some magic from the magical kingdom. And at the end of the day, they're in their hotel room, and he comes up to her, and he's going to tuck her into bed and have some prayer with her. And he says to her, he said, "Honey, how was your day at Disney World?" She sort of came back and covered her head with a blanket and had this stuffed unicorn that she was holding close. And then she opened her eyes, and there were sort of weepy eyes, tears in her eyes. And she said to him, said, "Daddy," she says, "I finally got to go to Disney World. Not because I was good, but because I'm yours." And what a wonderful description of God's grace. Not because I was good, but because I'm yours. And you know, when you stop and think about God's unstoppable, outrageous, awesome, marvelous, magnificent grace, that's what God did for each and every one of us. Again, consider the insanity of a good shepherd who leaves the 99 and runs after that one lost sheep, wants to bring it home and reclaim it as his very own. I mean, the insanity of a father who looks off into the distance and sees his son coming back after years of rebellion, and runs out to meet him and puts a robe on his shoulder and fancy rings on his finger and kills the fatted calf. The outrageous, insane grace of God that we cannot begin to even understand, because God in his grace says, "I have chosen you." And it's not because of anything that you have done. It's not because of anything that you have deserved. It's because I and my grace have chosen you above everyone else, and I want you to experience the magic of my kingdom, the magic of my family. I want you to know that I've included you because you are mine, not because you're good, but because you're mine and I'm yours. You know, I think about that roller coaster ride. And I think about how it is that, you know, we've finally gone through all the loops and the curves and everything else, and you're coming into home, the home there, the place where you get on, and you get off. And I don't know about you, but whenever I go on a crazy ride like that, I usually get off, and I don't know whether I'm laughing because I'm afraid and I've finally made it, you know, I'm still alive, or whether or not it's just the adrenaline running in my body. But you usually get off, and I don't know about you, but I'm laughing and giggling and high-fiving, and saying, "Wow, what a ride. I'll never do it again, but what a ride," you know? And I have to step back, and I have to say in regards to our Christian walk, wow, what a journey. Wow, what a ride. Wow, what a God. Wow, what marvelous, amazing, unstoppable, outrageous grace that God has stepped down And when I was not good, and when I did not deserve it, in his mercy, he reached out and gave me what I did not deserve. I deserved worse, but he didn't give it to me. Why? Because of the cross of Calvary. It's not because, you know, of anything I did. It was because I belong to my heavenly Father. What a Father that we have in heaven. What a God we have in heaven. And I pray in your own heart that as you go out for your theme parks, and I don't imagine that, you know, some of you are going to go on roller coasters. I know that Tyson's probably already got roller coasters planned in his life. Looks like you do too, Kathy. But when you go out to those roller coasters, listen, last 2 weeks ago I talked about baseball. And the reason I talk about roller coasters is because we do those things every day of the week and every day of the year. And I pray that when you go up to the top of that, you're going to say, wow, what blessings God has given to me. And when you begin to go down that thing, you're not going, woo, I'm praying, saying, I'm praise God, God's holding me in my hands. You know, he's still my God. I mean, I experienced the fall, but God still loves me. And when you come in that Rome station, that you give a testimony, you high-five somebody, say, praise God, he's going to get me home. Praise God, what a grace. Praise God, what a journey. Amen? All right, maybe we should go back. And we got a roller coaster rating in the parking lot out here, and so we're going to take some rides. And I should have preached this on Bluebird Days, but anyway. Precious Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. Lord, what a God you are. What a Father you are. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for giving us these blessings in heaven, even when we did not deserve them. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you have saved us by your grace. We are loved, Father. We are loved. Lord, just like that 8-year-old who did everything in their life to try to sabotage that trip for them, I think about how often it is in our own lives that we'll try to sabotage our relationship with you. We'll try to sabotage our walk with you. And we'll try to do anything impossible to make you say, that's what you get. You're being punished. Stand in the corner. But Lord, you stand there with your arms wide open and say, I love you still. In spite of all you have done, I still love you. You're mine. You're my child. Lord, help us to hear those words over and over. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. I can risk loving you. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.